This is an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
This is Coast to Coast AM from the Kingdom of Nye.
Well, if this doesn't do it for you, it can't be done. This is hard, physical evidence. Good morning, everybody. If you haven't been to the website yet, I suggest you go on up there and take a look. Electron scanning microscope photographs of implants, of a specific implant, almost beyond question. It's at www.artbell.com. We'll get back to Dr. Roger Lear, the man who removed these, and Daryl Sims, an investigator of abduction phenomena and a researcher of hard evidence. Well, all right, once again, Dr. Roger Lear and Daryl Sims. Daryl's in Houston, Dr. Sims in a very damp central California. Gentlemen, questions, several faxed questions first. From Michelle in Lamont, Illinois, please ask the doctor if the patient suffered any ill effects after having these implants removed, either physical or mental.
Art, that's a very interesting question. One of the things that we do as a part of the program for removal is to have the individual examined both physically and psychologically prior to undergoing any surgery.
Of course.
We want to make sure that they're both of sound mind and body, number one, and then number two, we want to monitor very carefully any physiological or psychological changes that occur after the surgery. The only differences that we found either pre or post-operatively was in the first two cases, for example, neither patient had any discomfort until 1 week prior to the surgery. This was determined after examination individually by our PhD psychologist. Now, you could call that coincidence or whatever, but we believe that one had been in the body for some 41 years. So that's quite some time to not provoke any kind of discomfort and then have it a week before the surgery with the lady is, again, another one of those strange things. Now, following the surgery, one had undergone some hypnoanesthesia, which Daryl had done, and we did this for several reasons. One was because she had a bit of apprehension about the surgery. We were doing it under a local.
That's natural.
Natural. And so in doing so, we tried to alter both the healing time and the amount of medication that she would take postoperatively. And it was just about 2-to-1. She healed twice as fast and took half the amount of what the other surgical patient did, which goes to show you that things can be controlled nicely without drugs. After the surgery, for the first two patients, like Daryl told you before, the lady really doesn't want anything more to do with the UFO phenomena. Both patients examined psychologically post-operatively after the surgery, told the psychologist, again, this is another one of those strange things, in almost the exact language, they had a newfound feeling of freedom. And I asked her, I said, well, what does that mean? And
she freedom.
Said, I don't know.
Well, I know what freedom means.
A newfound feeling of freedom. Both
obviously, they felt in some way controlled previously. Freedom means freedom from control.
I asked her, I said, is this merely the relief of apprehension? I've been thinking about I got to have a surgery done, and now it's over, so I can breathe freely, everything's fine. And she says, no, absolutely not.
Uh-huh.
Now, Pat went on a few months later and stated that some of the psychic ability that he believed that he had prior to the surgery, he had lost. But in following him up for a further period of time, it came back. It even came back, and somewhere recently down the line here, he thought that he might have something back in his body again.
Uh-huh. Here's somebody who says the amazing aspect of this phenomenon is not merely that it's happening, but the reluctance of science and the media to admit that it exists at all. The phenomenon of denial is truly amazing.
I agree with that 100%, and part of it may be purposeful, and the other part by ignorance. If medical specialists, for example, let's take the biggest group of them, psychologists. If psychologists are not even aware that this phenomena exists, or the possibility of it exists, or, again, borrowing from Dr. Max, suppose this is some undiscovered new kind of mental dissociative disorder that's now gone worldwide. I mean, wouldn't you, at least as a psychologist, be interested in that without going on even to define what it is? But they don't have a clue.
I would be consumed by it.
Yeah.
All right. Here's another one. Art, we are looking at something that approaches the world of nanotechnology. It's breathtaking. We have something here that may be a transmitter and receiver. From his description, it could be interacting with our neural network. Now, isn't that, aren't we getting very close to the world of nanotechnology with what you have described and shown us?
Well, from what I read, and I'm certainly not privy to any information that isn't available to anyone else, it seems like we are working on nanotechnology. But, you know, one of the things that we had to decide when we do this, we knew we were going to get asked, how do we know that this isn't just some black budget governmental project? And you've gleaned a little bit of it by mistake.
All right.
One of the ways that we thought of eliminating this was, what was the state of black budget technology 50 years ago? So if we could do aging, metallurgical aging on the specimens, and got over 50 years, let's see, even with the inaccuracy of carbon dating, but they're much more sophisticated techniques today, and you go back beyond 50 years, I much doubt whether this technology could have been black budgeted 50 years ago.
That's an awfully good point. Doctor, I've got to read you a fairly lengthy fax and get your reaction. Art, in 1989, an MRI was done upon my head. This was the beginning of my conscious journey into implants. Upon opening the sealed envelope containing my MRI results, a small notepad piece of paper dropped to the floor. It stated that next to my hypothalamus, touching it, in fact, was a pellet the size of a 22 caliber bullet. It was considered an anomaly, as it was made of an unknown material. They didn't know how it got there. It was of non-specific origin. They also found what they called an acoustic necroma, a benign tumor in the inner ear that has the substance and look of jello. When I arrived at the Chicago Neurosurgical Center in Chicago, a CAT scan was done the day I was to receive a non-invasive therapy to kill this so-called benign tumor. The picture was astounding. My inner ear appeared to be filled with this jello-type substance with a, in capitals, fish hook apparatus coming from the gelatinous substance that took up the entire inner ear. The fish hook, without any support, came straight out to my brain stem and had attached itself to the brain stem. The doctor exclaimed how that could not possibly be an acoustic neuroma, but what the hell else could it be? Also in the 70s, a definite implant was removed from my outer left knee. A local was done, and I watched. There was an eye-shaped indentation that, when the doctor cut it open, slid out like a drawer. It was shaped somewhat like a tooth and consisted of a gray-white gelatinous material that had a dark object in the middle. That was the last time he'd consent to seeing me. Also, a friend of mine had some of Tesla's actual equipment. When he turned on one of the devices, I stopped breathing. He apologized, stated that he had to know I was not lying to him. He said the object touching my hypothalamus, I believe it is, was a transmitter receiver. He had broken the transmission, and the implant kept me alive. I can't give you his name. He's too high up in a certain arena of life. Now, what does that sound like to you, Doctor?
Sounds like a complex situation, and I would love to see the material. Number one, if you went all the way back to the beginning where she says she has a bullet-sized object touching the hypothalamus, that in itself would certainly be indicative of something interesting.
Doctor, how many of these things, like the one we see on my website right now, do you think have been removed by surgeons nationwide, worldwide, without a thought and just tossed into a garbage can?
Guilty as charged. I probably did it myself. You know, when you're removing a foreign object from the person, it's usually bothering them, and you want to be a good guy, and you want to get it out for the patient. So you get it out, and by law, you have to send it in for pathology, and the pathologist looks at it and tells you what you want to know. Well, what do you want to know? You want to know whether it's benign or malignant.
That's right.
And then what do you do with it? If it's benign, you throw it away.
That's right. You go out and have a drink and celebrate life.
Yeah, and the patient says, you tell the patient, hey, it's out, you're fine. Come back in a week and we'll take your stitches out. And that's the end of it.
Art, I'd like to comment a little bit for the person who wrote the facts to you. It might be of interest to them, and they might be very interested in contacting us for some additional information. In the back of a man's neck, one of our abductees at our support group here in Houston, he brought me an X-ray, and he showed it shows a 22-size pellet.
Oh, my.
In the back of his neck, lodged next to his spine. And of course, the doctor said, when did you get shot? He said, I beg your pardon?
Yeah.
When did you get shot? He said, there's a bullet, it looks like, next to your spine. He said, I've never been shot in my life. There's no point of entry or anything. This is rather interesting. After we talked about it for a while, he talked to me about the possibility of getting it removed. He brought back another X-ray, and it's gone.
It's gone.
And amazingly enough, today, two individuals on the Internet contacted me about an event that occurred to them some time ago, and they described a wire-like device very similar to what this gentleman was describing in his head. Both of them had them in their legs. And what's rather amazing about it is they put some hemostats one of them was sticking out of the exterior after the abduction, and they put a hemostat on it and a little pair of pliers, surgical pliers, and pulled, and they could not get the object out. In fact, the object buried up inside them, and they've not been able to get it out.
Yeah, here we go again. Now, Doctor, are you able to tell the story again briefly for those who did not hear it of my friend Whitley Strieber and his ear?
Yes, I can. There's been some confusion there. I am not the surgeon.
Who did the surgery?
The surgery.
Right.
The confusion came when Whitley Strieber was a guest at the surgeries, second set of surgeries that we did on May the 18th of 1996. Whitley was going to have surgery by me on that day, and because he changed his mind, it wasn't done. And what he wanted to do was have some testing done first, and that he wanted to go back to Texas. But anyway, the story, as Whitley tells it, is that the surgeon who went after the object in the ear made an incision, and as he approached it to remove it, the object moved.
Moved out of the way of the
moved
scalpel.
Out of the way. And that's as much as I know about it. He was able to get some of it out, and he said it was kind of a gelatinous, fibrous sort of material. But that object, if it's there, is most probably still in Whitley's ear.
All right. Here's another one for either one or both of you. How many patients, Whitley, for example, said that there have been times when his ear would become almost red hot, when it would literally get hot, as if something was occurring, obviously, within. Has there been anything like that associated with any of the other implants?
That definitely is reported, and I think it's real important to state here, Art, that out of the several thousand abductees that I've worked with, I have found only a small amount of these people that probably have any kind of an implant. It does not seem to be rampant in that sense of the word at all. A very small percentage of people seem to have what possibly may be an implant. And I realistically wouldn't have any idea what an alien implant would be because I just don't know what that would be. What we certainly have found is alien to the human organism. In answer to a question about people getting hot, a lady called the other day and told me a remarkable story. Basically, she was facing abduction. She said, "I have no idea why this happened." She said, "I'd lose my job if anyone even found out." She says, "But I said, well, you realize that the business I'm in is in physical evidence, and as director of physical evidence, that's I'm interested in that with your case." The lady relayed something absolutely astounding that I'm waiting on right now. She says, "Well, I had a car accident not long ago, and the surgeons were working on my back area, and they checked my spine. They opened it up, and they found a scar tissue, and they checked it, and they kept wondering, well, how far does this thing go? And it said it's about the width of your finger, and it goes all the way up from my tailbone all the way to my cervical vertebrae, and there's no point of incision." Oh. She said, "Now, what's really amazing about that is the place where I work has got over 52 reports of abduction in the hospital in the terminal ward." One might say that that is just the result of... In the terminal ward. These are 52 reports, she says, that are available on public federal paper. And I said, "Of course, you realize what that means when you tell me that." And I said, "You're going to have to prove it." And she says, "Well, it's coming to you."
All right, gentlemen, hold on right there. We are all of a sudden at the bottom of the hour. I have no idea how it occurs so quickly. Anybody wanting a copy of this program? It is a three-hour program, obviously. And you can get it by calling 1-800-917-4278. I'm getting a lot of requests for that already. 1-800-917-4278, a three-hour program on implants. Probably, no, I suspect, the best ever done on the subject. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm curious. There are UFO conferences all over the country. They give lectures. They have guests. I would think that from those who show up with videos from Mexico, those people who show up with their various stories of this and that, that the two of you would be absolutely invited every time because of the hard evidence aspect of the work you have done. Where do you fit in?
Well, actually, we fit in quite well. Most of our work for the last 2 years has been out of country. We've been invited to every major country, I guess, from Japan for the opening of the Haikui Japanese Museum of UFO and Space Technology. We got back to Israel four times in England, Brazil twice. We're going to Chile twice. We've already got two invitations for that, one for Mexico.
What about the good old USA? You've been everywhere else.
No, that's true. Interestingly enough, the demand for us is greater overseas than it is anywhere else. They people just are absolutely wild about the discoveries and about the work we're doing. And we do have some conferences that we do here in the U.S., I'll be flying out on the 14th to do four different conferences with Roger in Southern California. But most of our conferences are out of country and for a reason, because we're trying to collate data out of country as well to make sure that our claims here are consistent in other places to see if there's any correlation there.
The other reason for that, Art, is that we've been promised a lot of things over the last year or two, and people asked us, please don't give things away. you know.
Yep.
So, you know, who do you listen to? Because neither Daryl or myself are certainly experts in, you know, in Hollywood. There's some bad people here, and it's hard to tell whose advice to listen to.
It's true.
One thing we were told, don't give your stuff up at conferences, stay away from the little, bad television shows. So we have done some fairly decent major television work. And most of the time we can, we're in a position where we have an agent who is a producer here in Hollywood. And so we can kind of pick and choose, and I think we've done better on most. It doesn't mean that we don't get stung, because as you were a witness to, the Lake County thing, which you didn't know, was I was filmed in there, too.
They came to you as well?
They came to me as well. They came to Daryl and I as a package through First, Dick Clark Productions, and told us they absolutely, frankly, out and outright lied. They said that we would film a different day. We wouldn't have anything to do with the other people they were interviewing. It had absolutely nothing to do with this Lake County abduction film that they were showing. And we were going to be used for another purpose, which they didn't tell us what it was.
This is the end of side one. Please leave the cassette exactly where it is. Flip it over and begin again.
From the Kingdom of Nye, Coast to Coast AM continues with Art Bell.
All right, well, let me ask right now, since Daryl was used, Daryl, I interviewed Stanton Friedman the other night, and he said unambiguously that he had not, at the point I first talked to him, he hadn't even seen the show. They interviewed him in the blind, and they took the little clips of him, and they put it throughout this production.
Well, I think that's absolutely truthful on Stan's part. I don't think Yvonne, myself, Dr. Lear, anyone had any idea what they were going to be doing. I produced a full apology for that, for being involved in that. But as Dr. Lear mentioned, we were completely
blindsided,
lied to. You know, there are some complications with the way that program was done. And we're looking into that, you may be assured.
It's so many steps backward for the whole abduction thing, for something like that to have been done.
Well, we did something that we had a suspicion, because sometimes these segment programs do this sort of thing, do something a little shady. That's happened before on a number of these programs. So what we did was weave our answer so tight and so succinct, the interviewer wasn't even skilled at asking the proper questions, so we would direct those questions and kept it online as much as possible so that they couldn't hardly be taken out of context. And it seems to me that what they did, when they couldn't, obviously couldn't get anything out of Rogers to fit into this nightmare of a ridiculous program they had that they were going to put all this in, and there's very little they could take out of mine, that they just finally just started asking questions of other people in our realm, so to speak, and to try to get them to make statements. And I think the whole thing was just taken out of context and blindsided everybody, and I think it's just absolutely reprehensible that these people do this. I mean, it has brought them enormous problems.
I know. You know it's going to be re-aired.
Yeah, I heard. I was just tickled to death. They cut me. And we had, like Daryl said, we had our suspicions when we were doing it. And I made my answers so technical, Art. And I thought to myself, good luck, guys, because if you're going to steal sound bites, boy, you're not going to get much. And they did. They didn't use me at all.
All right, let's see what some of the audience has to say. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Daryl Sims and Dr. Roger Lear. Hello. I guess not. Let me try this again. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Daryl Sims and Dr. Roger Lear. Hello.
Hi.
Tom in Reno.
Tom, turn your radio off.
It's off.
Okay, go right ahead.
Okay, now you already touched on this a little bit, but I was thinking it kind of sounds like what's happening is they're taking some of your own genetic material, enhanced, of course, and using that to go around this thing. But I'd say that not having a point of entry would possibly be the nanotechnology, you know, just like a little nanobots that they could inject with a needle so you wouldn't have any point of entry, and then it would just grow. You could do that with the crystals as well.
Actually, that's a perfectly reasonable supposition. Doctor?
Yeah, I can buy that as a possibility. If you got the needle down, so fine enough caliber and the your little nano engine small enough, you probably could do something like that.
Interesting. It's the only thing I've heard so far that would explain explain lack of a entry wound.
Art, I might be able to comment a little bit. When I was in Brazil recently for the big Brazilian international conference, a lady showed me an X-ray of a square object about a quarter inch wide, about half inch long, inside her neck. And the remarkable thing about it is there's no point of entry, there's no scar, nothing whatsoever. She had an X-ray of after the fact, after the object is missing, and there again, no point of entry, no exit, nothing. But what I did see in the X-ray, and she's supposed to send these to me, is that there were cuts, striations, cuts inside the muscle. You could actually see that there was some kind of a cutting inside the muscle itself, but not on the surface skin itself.
Well, check me if I'm wrong here, but one common thread in so many abduction stories would be a needle.
Yes. Many, many, many things to do with needles. Seems to just frighten these people to death. I want to mention, too, it's kind of a little bit off the subject, but if your audience has any interest in knowing more about this stuff, Daryl and I have a couple of videotapes, and they actually show some of the surgery going on. So,
oh my!
Everything
I have
heard
no
tonight
idea.
On this program is on the tape.
These are available now.
Yes, right now. They are.
All right. How would people go about getting the tapes?
Well, they can contact our site either through you or directly, or go directly to our site at www.anw.com. /first FIRST, or they can pick up the site off of your own site there.
Oh, do we have your site linked?
Yes, you do.
We do. Wonderful. We do.
Or if you want, Art, they can contact you, and we can get the tape sent.
Oh, I that's not going to work. Do you have an 800 number?
No, that we don't.
No 800 number.
No.
So
somehow
they've got to make it to a library and get hold of your site.
Well, if they want to call me, I can give you my office number, and I'm happy to do that.
Oh, doctor. Oh, doctor.
It's
think
805.
Twice. Yeah, all right.
895-2613. Or my email address is...
Let me repeat that. It's area code 805-495-2613.
That's it.
Boy, are you going to be sorry. All right, and your email address?
Email address is rklear, L-E-I-R, first, that's one, S-T, at AOL.com.
I hear a phone ringing, Doctor. That's rklear, L-E-I-R, at first, no wrong, rklear, first, that's the number one, and then S-T, at AOL.com, right?
That's it.
And you can order the tapes at 805-495-2613, and the doctor will shortly be turning that number over to an answering service, I suspect.
It's off.
west of the Rockies, do the wild thing. It's 702-727-1295. Interesting. Digestive difficulties. Wildcard line, you're on the air with Dr. Roger Lear and Daryl Sims.
Hi, this is Aaron from Anacortes.
From where?
Anacortes, Washington.
All right.
Okay, about California and all that raining? Hello?
I beg your pardon?
All the raining in California?
Yes.
I was just thinking that, wouldn't that have something to do with Nostradamus' prediction with,
Sir, you're off topic. You must not be listening to my program.
Okay.
Are you? You're not listening, are you?
I am.
I can't imagine you are. First time caller line, you're on the air with Dr. Roger Lear and Daryl Sims.
Good morning, this is Tom from Streamwood, Illinois.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. I was wondering if there was any consistency in what the implants looked like and where they were located in the body at all?
Very, very good question, particularly with a reference to what they look like. Any consistency, gentlemen?
Yes, that's an excellent question. And what we have is really several sets. We have a set of three which are metallic that are covered with a strange membrane, and we have another set of three which are small grayish-white balls. We have one which is a small crystalline material, a glass-like material. We have two from feet, one from the hand, two from legs, and one from the back of the neck.
That's just from the surgeries. And then we've got other alleged implants.
I might add, they're all from the left side of the body.
Mm-hmm.
Boy.
Including Whitley's ear.
All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Roger Lear and Daryl Sims. Hi.
Yes, good afternoon, or good evening, I should say, right?
Morning here.
Good morning, then, Art. My name is Victor. I'm calling you from San Diego, and I've enjoyed your show since you started here in San Diego.
Thank you.
I've been an all-night listener. What you've done to my sleep, Art, you have no imagination. You cannot imagine. You've changed all my habits. Anyway, I lived in Mexico City for 8 years, and, of course, I was a viewer of UFOs there. They were on a continual basis.
I know, every day.
Almost every day, just amazing. But I wanted to ask your guest a question. He mentioned before that one of the objects that he found in a Gauss meter was put near it, it pegged the scale. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, now a Gauss meter measures magnetism. Is that
right.
Correct?
That's correct.
Okay, now why is it, where was this located, in his hand or his foot? Or
back of the hand.
Back of the hand. Why is it all the time that he carried this, that metallic objects, pins, needles, metallic fragments, weren't attracted to his hand?
The field was very, very minor. The Gauss meter picked up a very small field, but the stud finder is how he actually located the thing when he was... He runs an apartment complex area, and he was playing with a stud finder one day, and he noticed it stopped on his hand.
Oh, really?
And he's not the only person we've had find that.
Although, that's some story. First-time caller line on the air with Roger Lear, Doctor, and Daryl Sims. Hi.
Hi, this is Chris in Houston.
Hi, Chris.
Hi. I just wanted to comment a little bit on the what you were saying about the location of the implants. It was just strange that I had a friend of mine that was in... the SEAL team.
You're going to have to speak up good and loud for us.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. He was with the SEAL team in the military, and it was just strange that he was mentioning that one of the things that they did do in the military was place an implant for tracking. It was. He also mentioned the location was on the left side of the vertebrae in the neck, and also they had a problem with that, and they removed it and put it behind his left knee. You know, just,
all right. No, you are exactly right. Doctor, they do that with SEAL teams and with special operations people. They do implants. I take it that they would be very terrestrial in origin and very much electronic.
Yes, they are, Art. And we have in our collection some interesting man-made implants. One that Daryl has with him is placed in emus. And it's a small rod, kind of an enlarged version of what we have. But if you look at it, it's an electronic device. I mean, it looks like an electronic device.
All right. Wild card line, you're on the air with Dr. Roger Lear and Daryl Sims. Hi.
Hi.
Speak up good and loud. Where are you?
I'm in Southern California.
All right.
I was wondering if you could possibly ask your guest what month in 1969 that event occurred in Texas.
I can. You have just done it.
And one other thing.
Either one of you. Daryl, can you tell us what month?
The three lighted objects that...
The actual...
Oh, that was in October 1969 is when she went on the camping trip. Now, that doesn't mean that's when she was implanted, but that's when we suspect that it occurred.
Yeah, this is like the fourth time I've heard something of that nature that took place in 1969. I'm just kidding.
Well, I'll give you a good hint that most people don't know anything about, and it'll come out in my book, Alien Hunter, is that most people get abducted in multiples or divisions or some form of 11s. If you look in the back of Ray Fowler's book and look at the abduction times there, you'll be astounded to find they're all in divisibles or multiples of 11.
One more thing. When being abducted, I think it's best to go with the flow.
Yeah, go with the flow. Well, you don't really have any choice, do you?
I've been an abductee since 1952 up until the time I was 17 years old, and I did not ever agree to that, and I didn't like it, and resisted it. And found other people did the same thing, and they have been better for it. Other people don't think that.
That's... Would either one or both of you conclude or come to any conclusion with regard to the nature of the others, of these beings, of benign or malignant?
I just don't think that you can think of those beings in either category. We can't even decide or decipher who those beings are or what they are. The more you talk about it, the more confused really you can get, because a being, for example, that has the ability to manipulate your mind and induce multiple screens certainly has the ability to make you see whatever they want you to see. So perhaps a gray can make you think you're looking at a reptilian, or a reptilian make you think you're looking at a gray, vice versa, angelic beings, blue beings, light beings, and the rest. I mean, how do we know that they are not even morphs themselves?
Angels, religious figures, in other words, they could literally cause you to see anything they want.
Of course.
Well, my opinion's a little bit different. First of all, in the rare cases where apparent angelic beings do show up in abduction scenarios, such as in the case of Calvin Parker and others, the aliens take off in the other direction at rapid speed, which indicates that there are at least two different groups of beings there.
All right, gentlemen, I think this has been one of the most informative programs of its kind ever broadcast. And for that, I want to thank you both. We will have either one of you or both of you back on again. I'm flat astounded.
Well, Art, I really thank you for giving us the opportunity to present this material in the fashion that it was presented, which is pretty straightforward. We tried to eliminate opinion.
I'm glad you've done exactly that, Doctor. Thank you. Daryl Sims, thank you.
Thank you, Art.
Gentlemen, good night. And anybody who wants that tape, area code 805-495-2613. This is Coast to Coast AM.